Last week started on a sermon series called Blessing God's Farts. And today we're going to continue on that with part two of Blessing God's Heart.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, we just thank you so much for all that you have done for us so far in this service. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would just continue to open up our hearts and open up our minds with your word today. And that today that something would unfold where our spirits just jump and say, Lord, thank you for that today. And we give you the thanks and praise that's due to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have been, last week started on a sermon series called Blessing God's Hearts. And today we're going to continue on that with part two of Blessing God's Heart. And if you go with me, we're going to start out in the book of Psalms. Psalms 103 is where I want you to start with. And Psalm 103 is one of my very favorite psalms, and because I just absolutely love the wording that David says in Psalm 103, he says this, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. Come on now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, say it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know what God is saying through the psalmist, Brother Rick? Bless the Lord with everything that is within me. Everything that is within me. So that means that I can bless the Lord with my mouth. I can bless the Lord with my face. How do I bless the Lord with my face? Huh? I can smile because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Recently, I was talking with somebody, and you know, the scriptures talk about the fact that God will not strive with mankind for years and years and years. In the old days, in the Old Testament, they would live for 800-900 years. And I'm thinking about that. God had to deal with some of those people for 800-900 years. And if they're anything like us, which man has really not changed, right? You know, and how many fits did some of these individuals give to God in 800 years? So, through the time period, God gives us in His Word that, you know, He'll give mankind up to that 70-year mark, right? And some of us are saying, whoa, give me a little more time, right? But look at this. But the Scriptures also say, but by reason of strength, they will get more time. Patty says amen, right? Listen, how do we get more time? By reason of strength. Now put the Word of God together. What gives you strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you need or desire more years, then the joy of the Lord is what is going to bring that to us. Amen? So the joy of the Lord is my strength, so we're going to bless the Lord with everything that is within us, with our smiles, with our bodies. Paul told the Corinthian church, Kathy, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God both in your body and in your spirit, which both belong to God. So we're going to give Him everything that is within us and blessing His name and blessing His heart. That's what we're going to be talking about. We've been talking about this over and over again last week, blessing the Lord's heart. Look at Psalm 104, the next one over. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. And if you ever feel like you're getting a little bit down and things are going on around you, I want you to jump over to this chapter, Psalm 104, because you look throughout all of this, who covers thyself with light, who lays the beams of the chambers in the waters. Look at verse 4, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. And you go through that chapter and you'll realize who God is and the God that you serve. But we are going to bless the Lord. How many of you, you made a commitment last week to bless the Lord, to bless his heart? Some of you raise your hands. Raise your hands again. You made a commitment to bless the Lord's heart. And we bless the Lord's heart by the things that the Word of God tells us that we are to do. Now, last week, we learned some ways to bless the heart of the Lord by glorifying Him, by humbling ourselves before Him, and by repentance and coming before the Lord. That's how we glorify the Lord. Does it glorify the Lord when we say, I don't need to repent, I am good? Because now we're lying, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a flesh nature. Has anybody sinned this week? Some of you are not raising your hand. In one way or another, but this is where we come before the Lord in His presence and we repent before Him. This week, we're going to talk about some other ways that we can bless the Lord. Because how many of you want to please the Lord's heart? You want His heart to feel good. You want to bless the Lord and minister to Him. And these things He loves. And so if I find something that God loves, I want to do it. If I love someone, do I not want to be able to do those things that they like? Somebody just brought me a goodie this morning. And they know that I like it. Therefore, I feel love today. Amen? Blessing the Lord's heart. We're going to talk today about just two things because I think they're pretty detailed subjects that I want to cover, at least in the time that we have here. But this week, we're going to talk about the things that bless the Lord's heart in the way of, number one, obeying Him. Being obedient to Him. And then believing Him. The scriptures, as we're going to be digging into them, talk about these things. Both of these things bless the Lord's heart tremendously. So we're going to dig into the first one, that it pleases God's heart when we, His children, obey Him. Now, how many of you have children? Raise your hand. You have children, all right, on this earth. Did it bless your heart when your children obeyed you? Did you feel good about that? When you said, don't put your hand on the burner, and the child says, Grandma, Mom, I will not do that. I will never do that. No, little Jerry didn't do that. How about that, Jerry? No? Because it's in our nature that if we're told don't do something, we want to know why not, and to do it. But it blesses God when we are obedient to Him, and we'll be talking about that today. And so, I want you to look at a couple scriptures. John chapter 14, verse 15. Again, Jesus speaking here, very short little verse, and some of you say, I can't memorize Scripture. You can memorize this one. You ready? Come on, let's say it together. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, you guys all got that. Let's say it again. If you love me, keep my commandments. I bet you already have this memorized. Brother Rick, take that off the screen. Come on, you ready? It's gone. Let's see if we got it. If you love me, keep my commandments. It is not that difficult to hear God's word and understand what God's heart is trying to say here. Jesus said if we love him, we're going to keep what he asked us to do. That's called obedience. Now, I want you to turn over to John chapter, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, very powerful. The Lord dealt with me years and years and years ago on this scripture. And I want to cover this in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 as we start. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, this is where our toes start to get stepped on here. If we say that we know him, we must keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. And this is how we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought also to walk even as he has walked. Now this is where it gets pretty quiet in the church. Amen? He that says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't care how many years you have gone to church. I don't care how many services you have attended. I don't care how many Bible verses you have memorized. Don't care how many good deeds that you have done. If we say we love him, and if we say we know him, we are to keep his commandments. Keep that which God says. Anybody that says that they are a Christian, that they are a child of God, but look at the things that God is requiring us and say, I do not have to do those because I do not feel like it and I don't like doing it, is not a child of God. Did you hear me? That's what the Word of God is very clear on here. Let's look at something else. Maybe this will make us feel a little bit better. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Some of you are saying, I don't think so. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We start in verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. Wow. Behold, the heaven and the heavens is the Lord's, your God, the earth also, and all that is therein. What was Moses sharing that God desired of these people that were called by his name? To fear the Lord, to walk in his ways, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which were commanded to us this day. So it blesses the Lord's heart when we keep his commandments. When we are obedient to what God has given to us as a way to live. Has God given us commandments to live in today's society? He's given it to us through his word. And we know, if we know what His Word says, it blesses the Lord's heart, it pleases Him immensely when we keep those commandments that God has given to us. And God looks and He says, that blesses my heart, because one of the things that God chooses to do when we keep His commandments is to turn around and bless His people. He loves to bless His people. But it grieves His heart when we do not keep His commandments. The Israelites were forever forsaking what God said. God gave us these things for our own benefits. Did He not? When God gave commandments and God said, for a husband, for a man to leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God was speaking about a male and a female. And God had purposes for that. And still has purposes for that in today's world. But when you forsake that law and you say, oh, I'm just going to go be man with man, woman with woman, you are forsaking the commandment of God, and things will not go well for you. God's heart is for us to keep His commandments. He desires to bless us. That is His heart, but His heart is grieved when we do not keep His commandments. It is actually a pleasing aroma to God when we obey Him. And we take the Spirit's leading, when He is leading us and guiding us. And when God is calling us or leading us in a certain direction, and we rebel and say, I am not doing that. It will not go well with you. Because you are not blessing the Lord's heart at that time, but you are coming against it. How many of you, I'm going to raise both my hands, because I have heard the voice of God and I have been not obedient to God. Anybody been there in that situation? I've not been obedient to God, and it did not go well with me. Tell you time and time and time again. But when I have heard the voice of God and I have obeyed the voice of God, things went well. So it really doesn't take a whole lot of brain science here to figure out that we should obey what God says. Amen? Amen. Because things will go well when we do that. So I have an example here that I'd like to share with you. And we talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to talk about him again, because he's a great example of what not to do, and that is King Saul. Okay? So I want you to turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I told you, you know, these two things here have a lot to talk about. So 1 Samuel chapter 15... and we're going to start in verse 16. Now, this comes on the heels of something that God had instructed Saul to do through Samuel. And Saul did not obey the voice of God. And so here, Samuel picks this up in verse 17 now, or 16. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Wow. What a somber passage of scripture here. God had given the kingdom of Israel over to Saul, made him king over the entire nation. All he needed to do was obey the voice of God. Utterly destroy, meaning kill everything. But they didn't do it. He took back spoil. He took back the best things. How many of you know that you can only partially do what God has asked you to do? And that is the exact same thing as not doing what God asked you to do. You understand? It might go something like this. You are standing in a line or you are in a restaurant and the Lord speaks to you that I want you to pay for 5 tables. And he points them out to you. You know what they are. And you start thinking, that's a lot of money. I might be able to, 2 tables is enough. So you call the waitress over and you say, I want to pay for those 2 tables over there because they only have 2 on each one. And you're saying, well, I feel pretty good about that. I did something good. I was listening and I did what the Lord asked me to do. Did you? You did not do what the Lord had asked you to do. You may be feeling good about yourself, but God had a purpose and a plan. Oftentimes God may ask you to do something that makes no sense to you. But he's looking for obedience. And oftentimes these are what I call practice sessions that God does. Have you ever done something you felt that the Lord wanted you to do? It was very strong and you did it and you're thinking, man, there must be a great reason here. God's going to show it to me. And you never do find out. Anybody ever been there before? I think those are just practice sessions in obedience because God is looking to see if you will be obedient in the small things, therefore making you ruler over many things and being obedient. I've talked to you before about this. You know, I wasn't working and I did a job. I painted a house and they paid me cash for it. I had all of it in my wallet and I was in a service and the Lord spoke to me and said, give everything in your wallet. Now, how many of us can reason that out and say, well, you know, I need to have some money for bills and I need to have this and that. Let's give just this little bit. Is that what God said? We must be obedient to what God says. And so it was with Saul. He didn't complete the task as God asked him to do. And therefore, he did not obey. And what Samuel says to him, and what we learn from the Word of God, is that obedience is better than any sacrifice. And if we are not being obedient, that means that we are being rebellious to what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And rebellion is just like the sin of witchcraft. Does that make us feel better? It blesses God's heart when we fully obey Him. fully obey what He's asked us to do, no matter what you feel like. And listen, there are consequences to not obeying the convictions that God puts upon your heart. Some may think, you know what, I'm just going to rely on God's mercy and His forgiveness. I know that the Spirit is speaking to me. I know what God says. But I'm just going to rely on His kindness and mercy. He'll forgive me for my disobedience. Well, that brings us to, yes, we know that the Scriptures say His mercy endures forever and ever. And yes, He is a forgiving God. But there's consequences. There are consequences to being disobedient to God purposely. Purposely. I want you to jump and now look at the next set of verses. Verse 24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, all of a sudden, he is admitting that he failed and that he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it on purpose. So that meant he was lying in the first place, correct? Now, therefore, I pray, Saul says, that you pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, Saul, I will not return with you, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to your neighbor that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Was there a consequence for Saul in not being obedient? And remember, only partially being obedient is the same as being disobedient. It blesses God's heart when we are obedient to His word. And when God speaks and when He gives us His word, He wants us and He has our very best at heart and His heart for us. But consequences will follow if we just purposely say, I do not care. I am doing what I want to do. In the example that I gave you earlier, if you're worried if God says, pay for five tables, if you're worried that you're not going to have enough, do you think that God knows your future? You think that God is your provider and that He will take care of you? He will. And in the example that the Lord told me to give everything that was in the wallet, God provided the very next week. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. That's the God that we serve. We don't ever have to say, well, I wonder what will happen if I'm obedient to God. When the Lord puts something on your heart, do it. Do it. Because God will always, always make provision because you are blessing His heart. Somebody say amen. The next one that I want to talk about, and this will be the last one that I want to talk about, it pleases God's heart when we, His children, believe Him. And this is kind of going right together with being obedient with Him or to His word. Hebrews chapter 11, and again, we've spoken about Hebrews chapter 11 and this whole faith chapter here, but I want to talk about pleasing God's heart when we believe Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, listen to this, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now that's been one of those scriptures that has just been planted. I heard a pastor talking about this week on the radio, that when he was younger, the scripture just implanted in his mind. This was one that implanted in my mind as a young man, just right in Bible school. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever comes to him must believe that he is, number one, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That stuck with me as I dig here deeper into this believing God. It blesses his heart when we do that. And the example that is used here is a guy by the name of Enoch. How many of you heard of that guy before? He's only mentioned a couple times in Scripture, but apparently this is so important to God that he mentions these few times. This man named Enoch, according to this writer, Enoch's testimony to his generation. And you know, what is your testimony? It's the way that you live. It's what others see about you. All of us have a testimony. And what the New Testament calls our conversation. What are we like? What do people think of you? If you were to be brought in amongst a group of people and you were on the other side of the glass, and they were asked, what do you think of Kathy? What do you think of Sheila? What do you think of Paula? And you were listening to what everybody thought about you and what kind of person you were, what would they be saying?
It doesn't matter what you think.
What is your character? Are you faithful? Are you a Christian that lives out the Word of God? Do you keep your word? Do you obey the voice of God? All of these things, do we believe what God says? In Enoch's case, the scriptures here say that what he lived out in the time period that he lived, he was a testimony of God. What a man! What a man! That he had the testimony of God. And he pleased God. Now, he believed God so much that God just took him. He translated him. He translated him from this earth to the presence of God. We never have to worry about getting too close to God. Because God could do the same thing for us. Could God translate us from one place to another?
Amen.
He absolutely can and does. Some of you say, that's weird, Pastor. But he does. He did it in the New Testament. But I want you to think about this man named Enoch for just a minute. Go back with me, and we're going to find the second place where he is listed at in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Now keep in mind that his testimony, his life, what everybody saw in his life was God, and his faith and his belief in God. Look at this. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now that name you should remember. Methuselah ended up being the oldest man that ever lived. He's 65 when he has him. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. How old was he at this point? Now he's 65 when he has Methuselah, right? And after he had Methuselah, he lived another 300 years, so he's 365 years old. How many of you like to live 365? And now I want you to look at that. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Moses, in writing these first five books and writing Genesis, God simply gave him the knowledge that Enoch walked with God and he was not. End of story. God took him out and translated him from this earth to the presence of God. Because he walked with God, and we know that his testimony, according to Hebrews, was a pleasing testimony to God himself. So believing God is so important to God, and it blesses him when we believe what he says to us. Amen? Come on now. In believing what he says to us, God simply took him. Another example is Abraham. James chapter 2. James records this. In James chapter 2, we hear of Abraham. Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing how that faith wrought his works, and by his works his faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So, believing God is so important to God. Abraham was that example. Now let's look at Abraham. He not only had this story of taking his son, his only son, up and placing him on an altar, and he was going to kill him as a sacrifice to God. Because God said, go take your son and sacrifice him. How many of us would do it? Take our son, your only son. God says, go take him up on a mountain, put him on that altar and kill him. Sacrifice him to me. Do you think that that would make any sense to the natural man? It would not. But Abraham believed what God said. If God said do it, I'm going to do it. I know God has a purpose. I'm believing him. But even before that, when you look at this example of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, and again, we have to understand believing God is so important. Genesis chapter 12 right now. And the Lord had said to Abram, same man, get you out of your country, verse 1, and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Today, you and I, we want the GPS to tell us exactly where we're going. Right? How many of you like GPSs? How many of you like it on your phone? We've come a long ways, haven't we? Hey, Google. Make sure my phone's off. Okay. Take me to such and such a place. And within seconds, it comes up and it maps out the route for you. Turn right on 32nd Street. Go one half of a block, turn left on such and such a street. And we have that, but Abram did not have that. God said, get you out from the land that you're at right now with your family, with your father and mother and your brethren, and go where I will show you. How many of us would do it? Because we like to know where we're going, right? It's kind of like when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you remember when you said anything that I need to let you know? Can you do me a favor? What's our first response? It depends what it is. Because we don't want to commit to something that we don't want to do. Are we saying that to God? That's my question. Well, God, if you just show me what it is, then I'll give you an answer, yes or no. That doesn't please God's heart when we do that. What pleases His heart is we simply believe Him when He tells us to do something. And I will make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in all the families of the earth they will be blessed. So verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He left his father, he left his mother, he left everything behind at 75 years old and said, God said to go, I believe him, I'm going. Again, believing God is so important, and that we act on that. But again, just as we talked about with Saul and the consequences, do you think there's consequences for not believing God? Yeah, absolutely. There's an example that we find in Luke chapter 1. Now, oftentimes, this guy gets overlooked. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you will call his name John. So Zacharias not really preached about a whole lot, is he? We hear about Joseph and Mary, even Elizabeth, you don't care about Zacharias. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And as many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now here he was given all the wonderful things that John was going to do. Heard from God, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? He didn't believe him. Didn't believe him. How many of us, this is what I have to ask, how many of us, we question God? We hear something or we feel something, and the very first thing we do is question God. So, well, you know, that just sounds like it's too big. It just sounds like it's something that I can't do. This sounds like something that will never happen. We question God. That's what Zacharias was doing. But what's the end of this story? For he says, I'm old, and my wife is well stricken in years. Just don't think that's going to happen. So if God speaks to us when we're up in those later years of life, and God says, I want you to go and do this great work. Oh, I can't do it. I'm just too old. You know, I think sometimes we just talk ourselves right out of everything that God has for us. I'm too old. I don't have what it takes. Why would God ask you to do it if you didn't have what it took? Huh? Yeah. He said, I'm going to give you what you need to fulfill the task. Oh, I don't think I can do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And so God says, you mean you won't do it? How about we just believe what God said? So the excuses came by Zacharias, and the angel answered and said unto him, listen, do you not know who I am? I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things come to be performed, because that you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Ouch! Can you see the picture here? Where Gabriel stands and says, do you not know who I am? Do you not know that I come from the presence of Almighty Holy God? And I gave you these glad tidings, and you just shrugged it off. Said, I don't think it can happen. I can't do it. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too whatever. And God's saying, do you not know who I am and what I can do for you and with you if you'll just believe me? So let's quit using excuses of why we can't do things that God has asked us to do. Because He wouldn't have asked you if you weren't the individual to do it. Somebody say amen. So I want to just close by saying, do we want to bless God's heart? Then we've got to be obedient to what He's asked us to do. And when He tells us something, believe Him. Believe Him. That pleases His heart more than anything when we believe Him. That He is able to do everything that He said that He will do. But I got to tell you something. According to that story, the angel said it's going to happen no matter what. And if you want to be involved in the sin of witchcraft and your rebelliousness by disobeying God, He'll find someone else to do it. Because it will get done. It will. But you miss the blessing. We miss the blessing. You're at that restaurant and the Lord gives you that. You miss the blessing if you're just not willing to do what God asks you to do. But it will get accomplished. God will have His place and have His time. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You so much for Your word today. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be convicted over and over again, Lord. We ask Your forgiveness. And we ask, God, that we would be obedient the next time that You speak to us. The next time that You ask us to do something, God, that we would be obedient and say, yes, Lord. And that we would believe You because we want to bless Your heart. And again, Lord, we ask Your forgiveness for the times that we have not. And just help us, God. Help us to listen and obey. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. God's people say amen. Amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.